Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, here with me in studio. We're back in full force. There's no work schedules. There's no cruises. There's no keeping the world safe from fire or enjoying good times with wives. Not that there's anything wrong with that at all. What are you, crazy? There's just football. Of course, hey, some of us are lucky enough to include that with our wives. I'm just saying. I don't know. Anyways, but, you know, I got to say, Chris, it's a bit different situation here. I mean, we're fortunate enough to talk about being the alumnus of the co-champions of a conference. And yet there are people who are out there pissed off being co-champions, I think, as we talked about a little bit in the form of the Big 12. Yeah, that's still funny to me. I don't know why. Maybe, is it just because I'm mean? What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, could be both.
It could be both. F the Big 12, but you're mean too, Cal. You didn't have to take it there. And, of course, bringing him back after his respite, Weasel Week!
Yeah, boy!
Bringing it here in the house. You know, I got to tell you, man, even though you waited till practically last possible second, you didn't seem to do that bad a job in the pick'em this week. Good job. Good job.
All right.
See, you thought I was just going to talk smack, but no, I was leading up to a compliment.
All right. Like that works.
See, mixing it up. You were worried. I saw it on your face. Mm-hmm. See, this is radio, not TV. That's why I have to tell the people that. I don't know. Anyways, you know, the only thing that might have been more epic, Weasel, than your picks this week, than actually the panel's picks this week, let's call that what it is the epic amount of offensive craziness and scoring that was the Cardinals and the Rams. Chris, take us through this offensive fireworks show.
Well, it was a defensive battle in the NFC West showdown as the Cards kicked their way to a 12-6 win over the St. Louis Rams and improved to 11-3 on the season, but lost another QB to a knee injury.
You see, if I'd known that your spiel was going to start with defensive battle, I would have gone a different direction.
Yeah. Drew Staton left the game in the third quarter with a knee injury, but they expect him to be back in a few weeks. In came Ryan Lindley, who was 4-for-10 for 30 yards.
See, but here's the Boot. Thing. Yeah, yeah. He completes his first pass on the night, which is to gain back yards lost when Staton was hurt on a sack, to put a field goal in reach. There's your woot, Weasel. Yeah,
boy.
It's something.
Ryan Lindley, for his career, I mean, he hasn't started in a couple years. Career, he has 0 touchdown passes and 7 interceptions.
I don't think he's played since 2012 either.
Right, yeah, it's been 2 years. Right, it was Ken Wisenhunt's last season there when he had the revolving door at quarterback.
Oh,
Stanton. Asked the guy in row 214C. You
not
know,
Stanton,
if he wanted.
Skelton and then Cobb and all that I think might have been involved
right
in there. Right.
Yeah, the guy from 214 probably came down.
The guy from 214. The hot girl in 37B, she started at quarterback too. I don't know, I'd be more interested in seeing her score. Hi-yo! Anyways.
Sean Hill for the Rams was 20-for-39, 229 yards with an interception. Kerwin Williams and Stephon Taylor filling in for the injured Andre Ellington were both productive running the ball, as Williams was 15-for-75, 5 yards a carry, and Stephon Taylor was 14-for-61, 4.4 a carry. Trey Mason for the Rams had a lost fumble. Larry Fitzgerald had 7 catches for 30 yards and became the youngest player ever to 900 career receptions.
That's actually pretty awesome. And, I mean, let's put it this way. The Cardinals ran more than they threw in this game. So, the fact that, you mentioned Kerwin Williams and Stephon Taylor.
Stephon.
Stephon. No, that's the way it was spelled when I looked it up. It was S-T-E-P-F-A-N. Stephon Taylor. Awesome. Anyway, no, but I mentioned all that because Kerwin and Stephon combined for 29 for 156. That's better than 5 yards a carry right there, right? That is obviously, in my mind, what makes a difference in the
game. I have it down for 136. Yeah, so it's just under 5.
Okay, so Kyle can't count or read his winding one of the two, but yeah, it's still, right. It's just under 5. Okay, so it's just under 5. It's like high 4 point something.
4.7.
You ran the ball almost 30 times. That's still epic. Exactly. dude, anyways, please.
Stedman Bailey led the way for the Rams with 5 catches of 74 yards. Kenny Britt had 5-for-65. Really, the difference in the game was turnovers, as 2 for the Rams, 0 for the Cards.
And the lack of a run game in Trey Mason.
Right. So
he had one of the turnovers as well.
Right. So really, the Cardinals, their last couple weeks, they have So they got the Niners. Or they got the Seahawks.
The Seahawks next week,
and then the Niners the week after.
Yeah.
They're still the head of the NFC West. But
for now,
can they win another game?
Can they win another game? Now, what I heard you say was Drew Stanton in a few weeks.
Okay. Right, more like playoffs.
Okay. With that statement in mind, I still think they could beat the 49ers. Because the 49ers have nothing to play for anymore. And I'll get more into that later, but I still think the Cards win week 17. Weasel, what say you? Two games left against the division rivals in the form of the Seahawks and the 49ers. Can the Cardinals win either one of those games with their dilapidated starting lineup?
Well, I believe they can, because even though their offense, you know, it's messed up right now because all the quarterback's leaving
right.
due to injury. But the thing that Arizona does have is the defense.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as they have a defense, you get some like running support from Andre Ellison.
Ellington's out,
but he's on IR.
But actually, then he can't be.
Right, but I like that you went with the running game anyway, because Stephon and Kerwin are doing good anyway.
Ellington's the support from the sidelines, correct?
Yeah,
so that's what he's talking about.
Yeah,
get some support from this Ellington from the sidelines.
And look, whether it's Logan Thomas or Ryan Lindley or whoever, or you know, the hot chick from 12B or whatever, Larry Fitzgerald's going to catch some passes for you. So, I mean, there's hope there. But not against the Seahawks. I don't know. Maybe I'm giving away this one for the study hall a little soon. I don't know about that one. But I'm definitely thinking they're going to beat the Niners in Week 17. Anyways, next up, a game that had more points but was a bigger waste of time, the Jets and the Titans. Chris.
In a game that only mattered in a better draft position, the Titans moved up the draft board with their loss to the Jets 16-11 at home and fall to 2-12 on the season. The Jets are one game better at 3-11. Jake Locker got the start for Tennessee for injured rookie Zach Bettenberger, and he would leave with a shoulder injury, and he's out for the season now as well. So in came Charlie Whitehurst, 10 for 24 for 42%, 203 yards. Geno Smith for the Jets, 16 for 28, 179 yards with a touchdown. Chris Ivory on the ground for the Jets had a touchdown run. Fullback John Connor had a touchdown catch.
The Terminator, that's right.
Eric Decker, 7 for 100. And then for the Titans, Nate Washington had 6 catches for 102 yards. Difference in the game, Jets were 2 for 2 in the red zone. The Titans were 0 for 2. And then that also the turnover for the Titans as well.
See, the kind of guy I am, if I'm John Connor, I'm not. But it'd be pretty awesome if I was. And if I were, when I ran in that touchdown, I'd go back over to Geno Smith, reach out my hand and say, "Come with me if you want to score." Yeah, Weasel approves. I see the nod.
All right.
So with this, with the draft picks, the Titans are looking at pretty close to number one pick. They have to play against the Jags this week for who gets number one overall.
I mean,
unless the Bucks have something to say with it.
I was about to ask, does it get any worse than that? And then you bring up the Bucks, and apparently it does. But I mean, whoever loses that Thursday night game wins the tiebreaker between those two teams. It's that simple, I think. But the Bucks, depending on their closing schedule, are still a factor too. The Raiders have done too much. Beating the 49ers, I think they're out of the top pick race.
Yeah, they're higher because of their opponent wins.
Yeah, their strength of schedule already is impossible. So if that tells me that the Bucks would have tiebreak on a team from the AFC South, because that record in that division is TRBL, terrible.
Right now the Bucks are in the bottom. Right now with a strength of schedule of .466.
Wow.
The Skins.
And they're all tied with two wins right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Raiders are actually below the Jags because of win tiebreak over common games.
Yeah.
So the Jags are higher in Tennessee's over the Jags because of win percentage in conference games as well.
You know how you know we're in week 15, guys? When we spend this part of the show to talk about who sucks the most to the degree of the exact pick in which they do. That's what we do here on the Student of the Game, baby.
It's guaranteed both of these teams are getting a top five pick. So
Weasel.
thinking vacuum kind of sponsor. What do you think? What about Hoover?
The Maytag ball. Hoover works too. Hoover works too. But at least Hoover, you know, was a famous president. Something else. When it's Maytag, you know. No, no. What is it? Dirt Devil. Boom. You're not even good enough to be a full size vac. You're a damn hand vac. That's right.
Dustbuster.
Dustbuster. Oh, well, hey, we'll talk about a whole team of dust busting going on in their quarterback situation of late. The Redskins and the Giants. Chris, walk us through this suck fest.
The Giants get another victory over a bottom dweller, and they can now say that they have a winning streak as they beat the Redskins 24-13. It's 2 weeks in a row they've won. It's a winning streak.
This is what they call a winning streak. It has happened before.
Colt McCoy got the start despite having a neck injury, and he would leave with a concussion, so in came RG3. And I think he looked like his old self. He was 18 for 27, 67%, 236 yards with a touchdown. He did lose a fumble. He was sacked 7 times, but he had 5 rushes for 46 yards.
A little bit of controversy surrounding that lost fumble, but we'll get to that later.
All right. And Eli Manning was 23 for 34, 250 yards with 3 touchdowns. All 3 touchdowns were owed to Odell Beckham Jr., who had 12 catches for 143 yards. He also did lose a fumble. And Andre Roberts for the Redskins had 2 catches for 81 yards.
Let me go pop quiz right quick, and I need to weigh on this just so I can know what to think about in a couple more weeks when we do our superlatives to open the postseason after Week 17. Is Odell Beckham playing? And has he played enough games? Has he hit the field enough to be considered as a dark horse rookie of the year candidate?
Oh yeah,
Weasel says yes easily. Chris,
I say no. He missed the first 7 or 8 games. So
see, that's what's tough. I mean, so we gotta find a way to draw that line. If it's half the season that where you draw the line, and he missed 7, he's barely sneaking in. See, I don't know. I have to think about that. We might actually hear Weasel based on his. We don't know, obviously, because there's still 2 more weeks. But based on his criteria, he's on the list of people to consider. Weasel, with that in mind, Odell Beckham, top 3 in the race for Rookie of the Year as of today, in your mind?
Yes, and
without hesitation, do it again for him, Weasel.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. And anyways,
I think it was like week 6 or week 7, something like that. And we usually have a player like that, Odell Beckham Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Someone goes and gets like 200 yards or something and 3 touchdowns. And the thing was, Odell Beckham was there for picking up, and he got me 42 points with that 3-touchdown game.
Who says we don't talk fantasy on this show? Weasel Wears!
Yeah, boy.
There you go. Coming up large on the fantasy talk there. Yeah, I still have to think about that. I need to find my zen on what I'm going to do with the Rookie of the Year. That's why we don't really have set rules for that here on the Student of the Game. But I got to do some research before I know how I feel about that. And there's still weeks left, too, so this all could be premature. Anyways, something else that was premature almost was for those of us who thought the Ravens would have an easy time in their game this week. They did not. Chris, walk through it.
The Ravens kept their playoff hopes alive with a 20-12 victory over the Jags, but it wasn't pretty for either team. The Ravens got on the board early when they blocked a punt and wide receiver Kamara Aiken picked it up and returned it 11 yards for a touchdown to put the Ravens up 7-0.
Well, hey, at least one UCF player scored at that point in the game.
The Jags were moving the ball well in the first half, but could not put the ball in the end zone and took a 12-10 halftime lead. The second half would be all Ravens as they shut down the Jags. Bortles was 21 for 37, 210 yards with an INT. INT came in late in the game on a 4th and long. He was just trying to throw the ball to make something.
Hail Mary, yeah, I can see where that should not be held up.
But he was sacked 8 times.
8 times. That's a lot.
I think it's number 19 in the last 3 weeks.
That's stupid. I mean, see, that stat right there is exactly why Chad Henne should be playing right now. Come on. I don't know. Anyways, continue.
Yeah, Joe Flacco was 20 for 30, 221 yards with a touchdown. Through the air, CS3 had 6 catches, 76 yards. Allen Hurns had 6 for 70. Marlon Brown, for the Ravens had 5 for 66. Owen Daniels had 4 for 62 with a touchdown. And then Steve Smith had, he as well, like Larry Fitzgerald, had his 900th career reception.
But he's 35 and Larry Fitzgerald is not.
Correct.
Yes, Weasel.
We're done with this game?
Huh?
We're done.
You got more, okay.
And so really the difference in the game is the Jags are the Jags, and the Jags don't have an offensive line when those 8 sacks right
there.
Yeah,
I'm with you, man. And I think the fact that the Ravens were a bad offensive line away from losing this game, you got to be concerned, right, if you're, you know, John Harbaugh. Funny you talk about John Harbaugh being concerned about something, because Jim Harbaugh is the one usually in the news. We'll get to that later, but I don't know. It's stuff like that that takes my faith out of the Ravens. I'll put it like that. Weasel, what do you got?
Well, we're talking about Odell Beckham Jr. a little bit earlier.
Okay.
Looked up some receiving stats for the rookies. And one thing I saw was that leading in yards, 972 yards, while missing the first four games. Second place is Kelvin Benjamin with 952.
Mm-hmm.
He has 71 receptions. And he's second to only Mike Evans in touchdowns. He has 9. So if he started this season,
No, that's and that's a compelling point. And if he missed only 4 games, I mean, hell, that's kind of evidence that he should be considered. I don't know. Well, like I said, I got to walk through it, but you guys gave me a starting point definitely to consider what I'm going to do. Kelvin Benjamin's fallen off as my since my midseason awards came. So I'm thinking you got to step your game up, Kelvin. I'm shopping now.
I'll just say, and tied for most receptions among rookies, which is 71, tied with Jarvis Landry from Miami.
Oh, yeah. Jarvis Landry's come on of late, too, as well. Good point, Weasel. Well done. Excellent breakdown. Give us another excellent breakdown as the Minnesota Vikings faced off against the Detroit Lions.
And in a close matchup throughout the game, the Vikings on the road lost to the Lions 16-14.
I mean, did anyone expect that game to be that close? I didn't, I'll be honest.
Eh.
Okay.
Vikings rookie quarterback Teddy Bridgewater threw for 315 yards and a touchdown, but also 2 INTs.
Oops.
Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford threw for 153 and a touchdown. Lions wide receiver Calvin Johnson, a.k.a. Megatron, was held to 4 catches for 53 yards.
Well,
Rhodes is the... I forgot the guy's first name, but...
Who?
Rhodes, R-H-O-D-E-S. He was on... he was the cornerback for the Vikings. He was on Megatron.
Oh, Xavier Rhodes.
Xavier Rhodes, okay. Yes. He was on him, and when Megatron gets only, like, 4 catches, yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's respectable. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and shoot off too many fireworks, because Stafford did have a slower game. 53 of the 153 yards is still a significant impact, but only 4 catches. I'll give that credit. How many did Stafford complete again?
Stafford completed. I'll have to.
I got it right here. That. Don't worry about it. But what I'm trying to say is, what do I have here? Oh, I didn't write it down either. Go, Kyle. Well, the point is, you got a 153 yard day. That ain't much at all. But hey, maybe perhaps that's why Stafford had such a bad day, is because Rhodes had him blanketed. What do you got, Weasel?
17 of 28.
So 4 catches out of 17, that's 25% of the offensive receptions going to... That's still not a bad job, though. I don't want to take anything away from it, but, you know, let's not jump too far over the edge. Anyways, please continue, Weasel.
So a bright spot for the Vikings is the emergence of wide receiver Charles Johnson.
Yes.
5 catches, 72 yards.
Well, someone's got to do it with Cordero Patterson missing.
He did have an impressive return for a kickoff, and I think he got brought it back to like the 40, 45-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still there, but he's been a disappointment. So whose fault it is, not playing him enough, or is he not giving enough effort? I don't know. So
we're asking the chicken and the egg in this one, in my opinion. I think it's a little of both. But anyways.
So Vikings kicker Blair Walsh.
Walsh.
26-yard field goal with only 7:45 remaining.
He should have used the pitching wedge for that chip shot.
Yeah. The Vikings were still up by 1, though.
It's actually a lob wedge from that close.
Damn. You know I don't do golf. Anyways, I would make a joke about being old, but I'm actually technically a couple months older than you, so it doesn't work.
Yep, so the Lions were able to get the game-winning field goal. So in the red zone, the Vikings were 2 of 3. The Lions were only 1-4, yet they pulled off the victory.
Yeah, I mean, Well, it helps when you have the turnovers, too. I mean, let's call that what it is, not to mention the Lions sacking Bridgewater four times, while Stafford, zero times sacked. I would have expected more from the O-line of the Vikings. Oh, wait, no, I wouldn't. They got rid of Jared Allen.
D-line then.
What'd I say?
O-line.
Did I really?
Yeah.
D-line, my bad.
Yeah.
Wow. See, this is how you know I had a full day of work today. How do I screw that up? Anyways, the point is this. You could tell Jared Allen was missing. Hey, who knows? Maybe he could help their O-line, too. Shoot, I don't know. Hey, speaking of teams that need help bad, the Panthers played, and they hosted the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Chris, should we have bothered watching? As it was best said by Montel Hardy, and I have to bring it up here because actually the Bears are playing the Monday night games. We're not going to be talking about them. He said that instead of watching Bears football this season, you should build a spice rack for your mama. Well, this would definitely be a spice rack game in my opinion. I don't know. You tell us, Chris.
The Bucs are finally mathematically eliminated from the playoffs with a loss to the Cam Newton-less Panthers 19-17. They still could have made it. Earlier in the week, Cam Newton was in a car accident and is out with a back injury.
A transverse fracture. More specifically, yes. But Derek Anderson came in. I believe he is 2-0 against the Buccaneers now officially.
Correct, yeah. That was week one.
So,
and he was 25 for 40 for 277 yards and a touchdown. And they went with the same game plan that worked in week one, as he was just going to throw the ball to Greg Olsen and Kelvin Benjamin. As Greg Olsen had 10 for 110. Kelvin Benjamin had 8 for 104. Jericho Cotchery had the touchdown catch.
Biggest game Kelvin Benjamin's had in a while, actually.
Correct. And Jonathan Stewart rushing the ball had 22 carries, 73 yards, 3.3 a carry with a lost fumble. For the Bucs, Josh McGowan was 13 for 28, 154 yards with a touchdown, an interception, two lost fumbles, and he also had a rushing touchdown. Doug Martin had 14 carries for 96 yards. One of them was like a 63-yarder.
So it means the other 13 carries are good for about 30 yards.
Correct.
So that really means until that run, he averages less than 3 yards a carry.
Right.
What a waste of my time.
Yes. But if you count that long run in there, it was 6.9 yards per carry.
Whatever. Anyway.
Fitzen Jackson had 6 for 70, and Mike Evans had 2 catches for 13 yards with a touchdown. Difference in the game was turnovers, 3 for the Bucs, 1 for the Panthers. And now the Bucs are sitting with the number one pick so far. Should they tank the rest of the season?
No, I don't think they should. Because if they intentionally tank, they'll accidentally win the damn game.
And you said that they should get rid of Lovie Smith.
He should be out like a fat kid in dodgeball.
So if they do, should they draft Mariota number one?
I'm going to say no. Not because I don't think they need a quarterback. It's because I don't think anyone should be drafting a quarterback in the first round of this draft. I mean, look, off the top of your head, guys, top quarterbacks in the nation right now, go. I mean, give me some names.
I don't got names.
Oh, snap. He's not even going to drop the Heisman Trophy favorite, Marcus Mariota of Oregon. Him? Okay. Not even a little bit? Not even Jameis Winston. All the crab James leg Winston, jokes. Yeah. You love making crab legs jokes.
Bryce Petty for Baylor.
Bryce Petty?
Kind of got a little baggage there. Yeah.
Okay. So, Weasel, have you ever auditioned for those Motel 6 commercials with Captain Obvious?
Yeah.
Because if you haven't, I'm going to save that clip so you can go ahead and do it. Yeah, no, but you're absolutely right. A little bit of baggage there, too. Exactly. But that being said, if the Bucks were to go ahead and make that selection, which, who knows, why not? If they're going to draft the quarterback there, I would dare say that they go for Mariota. Weasel.
And just a quick look at the playoff standings.
Yes. I'm
just going to name some records, and you tell me which one doesn't really fit in there.
Well, one of these things, it's not like the other.
So you got number one has an 11-3 record.
Oh, wow.
Number two, 10-4. Number three, 10-4. Number four was 5-8-1 tie. And then you have 10-4 for the two wild card spots. It's most likely to be a 10-4 team, at least, and possibly a 9-5 team.
No, I think you got that switch. It's really 8-5. That no, yeah.
No.
It's bad.
Yeah, no, no. Do you understand, guys, that we are guaranteed to have a losing record going into the playoffs? I think.
Yes. No. It's a losing record.
Yeah. Going in. We've guaranteed that the best they can do is 7-9.
Well, no. There's still a chance.
If the Saints win out,
they'll be 8-8.
If the Saints win out, they'll achieve mediocrity.
Exactly. So there's still a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance. Weasel.
I think I'll talk when we get to the Seahawks about their playoffs.
Yeah, no problem. In that case, Weasel, you're still on the clock, bud, because there's another awesome streak going on right now. And you can tell us all about it as the Oakland Raiders travel to the Kansas City Chiefs Arrowhead Stadium.
The Chiefs at home avenged a loss against the Raiders earlier in the season with a score of 31-13.
See, I told you couldn't beat me up. And I don't know. After you become the one in the 1-11 of a record, that's pretty humiliating.
Yeah.
Not that it's any better to be the 2 and the 2 and 11, but yeah, I never top it. Anyways.
So towards the end of the first quarter, Chiefs returner DeAnthony Thomas.
DeAnthony Thomas, formerly of
Oregon.
Keeping it relevant. Yes. Anyways.
So he took a 81-yard punt for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Chiefs quarterback Alex Smith. Had a good game. 297 yards and a touchdown. Now the touchdowns were for Niles Davis. Let me see. He's not
student of the game.
That guy's a running back, I think.
Just want to put this in the background.
And then we have Travis Kelce. He's a tight end. So the streak continues.
The king of the check down streak continues. Yep. Booyah.
So you got rookie quarterback. I think he's been doing good. He's should at least get some, you know, recognition. Derek Carr threw for 222 yards and a late garbage time touchdown. So we got the Chiefs. They make the playoffs. Can they hang with, like, the Patriots or the Broncos?
Well, here's the thing. And you pose this, Weasel. Earlier in the season, the Chiefs scared the Broncos. Later on their second game, they didn't. The Chiefs came out and belted, absolutely destroyed the Patriots. But what was the key element missing? Come on, guys. This isn't a tough one. Who did not the Patriots have versus the Chiefs? Come on.
Gronkowski.
They did not have Gronkowski yet. Correct.
And he's pretty good, too.
He's kind of awesome, yeah. I would venture to say. And although that game did render probably one of the single most cool things I've ever seen, where 300-plus pound nose tackle Dontari Poe lined up at fullback and charged straight into the fat world's fastest immovable object in Vince Wilfork in a collision that probably registered on the Richter scale in Japan. And they were playing in Boston, if I remember correctly. That should tell you something. In all seriousness, that was amazing. And really probably the most memorable thing about that game, other than the shellacking that was the score. But, I mean, Chris, am I too far to say that those days are gone and that the Chiefs would be pretty much blasted if they played the Pats again?
Yeah, they will. They will be.
Okay,
yes.
There you go. So, yeah, I think we addressed that. Something else? Another you're good for that game, I assume?
Word.
Okay. So, another elephant in the room we need to go ahead and get out of the way as far as people struggling. The Bengals faced off against the Browns. Weasel.
In its highly anticipated start, Browns rookie quarterback Johnny Manziel at home was owned by the Bengals 32-0.
Okay. Now you said owned. Was he really pwned? It was
pwned.
That bad?
Oh, that's even worse.
Okay.
But
was it that bad, would you say?
It was pretty bad.
I don't know. 30-0 is pretty damn bad.
And I don't like those quarterback rating things, but he had a quarterback rating of 1. So.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's kind of like celebrating when, like, you're bowling and you hit that one, like the 7 pin just before it hits the gutter. Yeah, it's not a 0.
Now, to relate the Johnny Manziel infatuation with that everyone has.
Okay.
Including you.
To what's that?
Including you.
Me? Yeah, whatever.
Oh, Johnny.
Go a little bit to NBA. You got LeBron James, who was pretty embarrassed after his I'm going to take my talents to South Beach thing.
Well.
And so he became a villain. And the thing is
that
for
he
me,
did.
For
I
me
wouldn't
too,
call him embarrassed, but yeah, he definitely became the villain. Absolutely.
For me, I was like rooting against him.
Yes,
I was
you
checking.
Were.
I was checking the Heat scores and all of that.
I believe the term "hater ass"
yeah.
refers to you back then. You're over it now, but back then you were a hater. That is
yeah.
true. You're admitting it.
So tying it back here, pretty much the thing about Johnny Manziel is that you like him or you hate him, and both those people usually want to know how he's doing.
Are you giving me the Howard Stern defense right now?
Hey. He's like, so Manziel was 10 of 18, 80 yards and 2 INTs. And the interceptions, they were kind of, you know, poorly thrown. And it's like gift wrapped for the safeties and like the cornerbacks and stuff. So
well, 'tis the season. Right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you. You
That's
know,
right.
it's just the spirit of giving. yeah.
He was sacked 3 times, and of course, the Bengals got to mock the guy. His little money sign thing. And so, yeah, that's going to get really old.
Oh, no, it already has.
Yeah.
And let's be abundantly clear, the money sign was flashed more by the Bengals than it was by the Browns
oh, yeah.
that day.
Oh, yeah.
There's not a question.
So, Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton threw for 117 yards and a touchdown. Most impressive player this game was their second-round draft pick, running back Jeremy Hill.
Oh, my goodness, yes. This was cool. This guy.
So, yeah, he had an impressive game with the
25 carries for 145 yards and 2 particularly awesome touchdowns.
Yep.
Well,
that's it.
And moreover, for Cincinnati, they had 45 carries on the ground for over 320 yards with 3 touchdowns. Andy Dalton may have had a slow day, but hey, the run was there to basically handle business, and Johnny Football did the rest.
It's you know, it's kind of a little bit early, but if you have to pick a franchise quarterback and you could say no to both players,
and you couldn't say no to both players,
you could.
So
you could say no to both players.
Oh, okay.
But you got Johnny Manziel or Derek Carr.
Oh, that's not close. Are you kidding me?
Going
into this draft, Derek Carr was the better choice. No. Guys, and please, you know, tell me if I'm completely off base here, but I thought the three of us were aware that Manziel in the first round was an expletive-deleted sideshow, right? We all knew that was a horrible pick, right?
Yeah. It's pretty late.
Okay. Chris, right? Good.
Yes.
All right. I'm just making sure that everyone's clear that we were smart enough to know that was all publicity, all right? It was kind of like Jerry Jones. That's terrible. Anyways, you know, with that, let's go ahead and jump to a break. And let's go ahead and pay full tribute to Alex Smith and the Kansas City Chiefs and their continued greatness in avoiding throwing a pass for a touchdown to a wide receiver. Student of the Game presents Real Men of Awesome.
Real Men of Awesome.
Today we salute you, Mr. Comeback Commander.
Mr. Comeback Commander.
To get you, your team had to suck. Once they had you, they went from 2 wins to 10.
Who's Peyton Manning?
As a rookie, he had as many or more comebacks than most rookies have wins. Which means he also had more wins than most rookies.
Even Unitas.
Are you down 21-3 at halftime? No problem. He'll hit Reggie Wayne for the win. No Reggie Wayne either. Challenge accepted.
It just doesn't matter.
So here's to you, oh troubadour of the turnaround. With you on their side, they have more than just luck.
Mr. Comeback Commander.
Student of the Game, National Gridiron Network. And I know it's a year old, technically speaking, a little more than that, actually, but there's that tribute brought to you by vocalist Blake Catchman, a.k.a. the Student of the Game IT guy, and of course narrated by yours truly, the audio to the Real Men of Awesome video, Mr. King of the Checkdown, and Alex Smith continuing to earn that title, 14 games, 15 weeks, without a reception to a wide receiver. I feel like I should be handing him like some sort of a plaque I bought at a trophy shop or something for that. I don't know.
The thing about that is that you would expect him to have, you know, pretty much like scrub wide receivers because he doesn't want to throw touchdowns to them. But one of the wide receivers that are healthiest, and Dwayne Bowe.
Well, and that's the thing. People keep telling me that I need to watch for Dwayne Bowe and that Dwayne Bowe is this, that, and the other thing. Guys, I ain't seeing it. Now, granted, he did make some plays last year. I mean, you know, I have the clips. But I don't see everyone's like, oh, it's Alex Smith's fault. Does anybody stop to recognize that their receiver core other – can anyone in this room name a receiver for the Chiefs not named Dwayne Bowe? A wide receiver.
Donnie Avery.
Donnie Avery, I believe, is... did he end up there? I don't remember. He is there now?
It might be. Dexter McCluster left, so...
So he's a Titan, right. And actually, I think he's technically a running back.
It depends. Yeah, he was a receiver. He's a receiver.
He's a receiver. He lined up in the running back some, though. I don't know. Jason Avant isn't there, is he? I don't think so. But yeah, Donnie Avery... I'll go ahead and give you credit for Donnie Avery, Weasel. I don't remember if he's there immediately. I don't have it in front of me. But the point is, the fact that we had to struggle that much should tell you something. I'm just saying. You know what else should tell you something? More bad divisions. This time in the AFC, the first of three teams to clinch on the day were the Indianapolis Colts as they faced off against the Houston Texans in Houston. This game wasn't a blowout in the way that you might expect. It was 17-10. And sure, J.J. Watt still got his two sacks on the day and all that. But hey, look, because Andrew Luck. Oh, no, wait. He threw a pick six with only two touchdowns and 187 yards. The real reason why is because it sucks to play quarterback in Houston right now. A broken leg for one Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then his substitute, Tom Savage, now unavailable due to he has a concussion.
Knee injury.
Or knee injury? Okay, yeah. He lost a fumble and interception in this game as well, keeping the Colts in it. The Colts would overcome. Arian Foster, of course, did his part running the foosball for the Houston Texans, 26 for 99. No shock there. DeAndre Hopkins had Hopkins. Had five catches for 77 yards. And then Hakeem Nicks had a touchdown. Dwayne Allen had a touchdown as well. T.Y. Hilton and Reggie Wayne, both minimal factors in this game by comparison, although T.Y. Hilton did lead in receiving yards for the Colts. Guys, I got to say this. I got a lot of people trying to tell me that Andrew Luck is not that good a quarterback because he throws interceptions and he makes mistakes and blah, 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 yakety smackety. Does anybody else think that that's a fair assessment? Now, I need something better than on this one, Weasel. If you don't have anything, stay silent.
I think early on in a lot of the top quarterbacks' careers, some of them, like the big ones, have struggled. Like Peyton Manning in his first year, I think he was like, what was it, 1-15? And I think
it was that bad, but it was pretty bad, yeah.
It was pretty bad, and so...
Here's the problem. He won 10 games his first year with a club that won 2 the year previous and took it to the playoffs. This is not that guy. So why am I hearing about this expletive deleted? Okay. Oh, for one, it's bitter former safety for the New England Patriots, Rodney Harrison. Yeah, nothing Homer at all about Rodney Harrison. And I hope he heard me say that. Okay. Earn your cash and be a professional and stop giving me this trash.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, but. In all seriousness, yeah, be a professional. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Thank you. Weasel Weasel!
Yeah, boy.
A true professional at work right there is what I'm talking about. But what I'm getting to is this, guys. He may throw some picks and he may make some mistakes. Sure, he's the guy that puts out the fire at the orphanage that he started. I understand that. But are they or are they not making the playoffs every year he's in? I'll wait. Hey. The answer is yes, guys, just so you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Question mark.
You know, I mean, granted, in this particular instance, the Colts are a few offensive weapons on the Texan side away from actually losing this football game. But, the dude has virtually nil for a running game. The dude has virtually nil for a defense. This dude is doing it all himself as much, if not more, than one Peyton Manning did. We're talking about a guy who left and then turned that franchise into a 2-win squad. Why are we after Andrew? Leave Andy alone! Anyway, so enough about that stupid. Oh, how ironic. Next up, We're talking about the New England Patriots.
Actually, I'll give a quick set.
Yeah, Weasel.
So for the Patriots, who we're talking about next, they have...
Segway!
They have 442 points they've scored.
That's right.
And second place, Indianapolis Colts. And they have only 424.
Pop quiz. Who faces J.J. Watt twice? Here's the hint. Not the Patriots.
Yeah. So, well, that was interesting because, I mean, they got the offense is scoring, so.
You know, and for all the bad teams that the South does have, I mean, the Jags are bad, the Titans are bad, the Texans turned out to be bad, though they started real hot. One thing you have in common there is the defense is pretty good. Now, the Titans, in this particular case, not anymore, but the Jags have a great defense. They're going to keep the amount of points you scored down. However, lighting up the Jets for a bazillion points does not a great team make. Looking at you, Bill Belichick. Anyway. So, yeah. As far as great defenses go, the Dolphins are good, but they're not great. And that showed as they went to Foxborough to try to keep alive some faint playoff hopes against the Patriots. The Finns were just, well, let's put it this way. I'm having sushi tonight thanks to this performance. 13-41, the Pats are victorious and clinch the AFC East for the 12th time. Ooh, I'm so impressed. Not really. Ryan Tannehill, it's not that he did bad. He just didn't do good. 29 for 47, 346 yards with a touchdown, two interceptions on the day. Tom Brady, 21 for 35, 287, two touchdowns with an interception of his own. But guys, if you ask me, the story of this game was the defense for the Patriots. That's right. 3-16 on third down were the Finns. 0-3 in the red zone were the Finns. While the Pats went 8-13 on third down and 3-5 in the red zone themselves. They did open up the Dolphins with a big reception to Mike Wallace. But he only had 5 on the day for 140 yards and a touchdown. That big reception being most of the yards. Javon Landry, who Weasel cited earlier, the Dolphins rookie, did his job. But the main performers, Gronk and Julian Edelman in the air. Also, LeGarrette Blount had a touchdown just like the two of those players did. Pop quiz. The Super road to the Super Bowl in the AFC will go through Foxborough. Does anybody really think the Patriots won't make it this year?
Looks like it'll be another Patriots versus Broncos thing.
That's not what I asked you.
Hmm? One more time then?
I'm putting it to you this way. I think the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl, and this pretty much milks it. I don't see any way they lose any of the either the next 2 weeks. And because they're hosting that game, Peyton Manning as a damn near 40-year-old quarterback with 4 neck surgeries who's already stone-footed and is in trouble when he has to throw on the run is going to lose that football game despite a revamped defense. Yeah, it's a little premature perhaps, but although I didn't pick the Patriots to make the Super Bowl in September 1st, I'm picking the Broncos basically to lose already. I'm making that call right now. No one's brave enough to follow me. That's cool.
But, I mean, you had the Broncos and the Patriots
in the championship game,
and you did have the Patriots the number one seed.
So I got that much right. So I could just be doubting myself prematurely.
Right. So the only one that could pick the Super Bowl right now is you, because me and Weasel are automatically eliminated. We're already eliminated from picking our Super Bowl team, so.
Yeah.
We can still pick the winner.
What, did you pick the Bucks?
No. Yeah. Close, the Niners.
Yeah, right. I forgot about, I warned you guys about the lack of discipline, dang it. I don't know. Anyways, next up, this game was actually quite shocking for everybody involved. I believe this is about the only game I missed. Oh, there's one other one. But anyways, the Packers and the Bills. Weasel Weas, take it.
Riding high with a 5-game winning streak. The Packers on the road. Ooh. Lost to the Bills? 21-13.
Spoken like a true Viking fan who's married to a Bears fan.
Yeah. So, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, my starting quarterback in one of my fantasy leagues in the playoffs. 5 points, you know, 5 points for the fantasy points.
How's that looking for you?
Yeah, it didn't look too good.
Yeah, okay.
He was dominated by the Bills defense. 17 of 42. 185 yards, no touchdowns. And going into the game, he had 203 completions without an interception in a row. This game, he threw 2 INTs. And on the other side, Kyle Orton did throw an interception himself.
Well, because it's Kyle Orton, we expect that. We don't expect Aaron Rodgers to throw only 40%.
Yeah, he's usually like one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the NFL. So in the late third quarter, Bills returner Marcus Thigpen took a punt 75 yards for a touchdown. And the Packers had a chance to win the game. But on a 1st and 10 at the 10-yard line, there's a fumble. And it went into the end zone. Even though Eddie Lacy recovered it, it was a safety. So Lacy did run for 97 yards and a touchdown.
So let's back up a bit on that. Let's not just get glaze over it. For those out there who haven't heard of the Holy Roller by the Raiders, look at the hell up on YouTube. But that's basically the rule that gave birth to not being able to bat a ball forward or in a direction instead of recovering it on offense. And if the offense, with under 2 minutes left, if the offense fumbles the ball, the non-fumbling player who recovers it is down at the spot, hence why that was a safety. Although I believe Lacy got tackled anyway in the end zone, so it would have been a safety anyway. That play, I think, pretty much locks it up the way. So says the officials on Twitter. Anyways, continue.
So, now for the Bills, shutting down the Packers' offense, was this a fluke or a blueprint to stopping that Packers' offense?
Well, no. The strategy, I mean, follow me on this, Chris, and feel free to tell me if you think I got this wrong here, but getting a quarterback to struggle is the key to blowing up any offense. But you don't have a whole lot of teams like the Bills, that have the front that the Bills do, to do so. Am I right?
Yeah, you're correct.
I mean, who else in the NFC North has a front that's close to that? The Vikings used to. The Bears used to. The Lions
got a front four.
Almost do. The linebackers could stand to be a touch better. I know you're going to throw Ndamukong Suh at me, and you should. But the best hope is the Lions, right? And who's the team that's beaten the Packers so
Ooh,
far?
Ooh, pick me. The Lions?
Oh, my gosh. And that's also, for those who don't remember, the infamous R-E-L-A-X. Relax game, right?
Not what you got to say.
And now at this conference, Aaron Rodgers says, all right, do I really have to tell you guys this again? Anyways, I don't know. Everyone's talking about how this did put a dent in the NFC North, officially putting the Lions ahead of them. They play each other in Week 17. I have a sinking feeling that that will decide it all right there. Weasel.
We're good?
Oh, sweet. Okay. In that case, do we have to talk about this game? Yeah, so the Niners went over to Seattle. Okay, guys, let's be clear. I picked the Seahawks to win this game, Chris, did I not?
Yeah, you did. We all did.
And I think it was back just after Thanksgiving I started feeling like the Niners would not ever beat the Seahawks for the rest of the season. Granted, I didn't predict the Raiders to lose. That was pretty retarded. But, yeah, here's the thing. In every one of the Seahawks scoring drives, there was some sort of a ridiculously bad or missed call. The opening field goal for the Seahawks, Eric Reed gets flagged twice for illegal hits. Neither of them were. How can you hit a player out of bounds when he's not been called out of bounds yet? Interesting question, that. How are you supposed to dodge a player who bends his head over and makes contact with his helmet to your body and you get penalized? Eric Reed is going to be paid money because these officials suck. Okay? There's that. Then I won't talk about how Ed Hockley has holding right in front of him and gives Russell Wilson extra time to set up another field goal. But the most heinous of all is yet another illegal hit called on a 49er for a sack. This is why the 49er players think the refs have something against them. It's not so much that that's true, but there are numbers out there, unfortunately, to support it. I'm not calling conspiracy theory. I'm just thinking that the refs suck in general. I just happen to be a guy who follows the 49ers and in this particular case. You don't like my case there? Let's jump back to the Giants-Redskins game. Now, walk with me through this one, guys. So RG3 sees an opportunity, runs up,
dives for a touchdown effort, reaches out. He does lose control for a bit in the air, but both his hands end up back on the football, and then he hits the ground, and it pops back out. I thought that was a touchdown. Where do you guys stand on that?
Now, technically, because...
No. I didn't tell you to give me a rule that was never has never been applied to a fumble for a runner before. I told you to tell me what you guys saw.
Well, at about the 1 yard line, he does start to fumble the ball as he's up in the air.
Right.
As he crossed the goal line.
Right.
He looks like he did recover the ball.
Okay.
In his hands as he's diving in.
Bingo.
So, I would call it a touchdown. But I think what they're saying is that.
Oh no! We know what they're saying with this possession through the play crap. I've never heard about that for a runner before. Is that new to you guys too? I mean.
Yeah, it was new. The thing, you know, like every week they blow another call or two calls or whatever. Is that you lost possession in the air, you got to regain possession, and then that he landed out of bounds, even though it was a goal line. He landed out of bounds, so he didn't have possession.
He was in the whole air, play. Though, when he regained possession, right?
Right, but then
he's
he's
not out of bounds yet, right?
Right, but he's out of play, technically, because he doesn't have any feet down like a receiver if he loses the ball.
But the plane's broken at some point here, right? I mean...
Well, I think maybe what they were rationalizing was that...
I like that word. Good word, Weasel.
When he dove into the end zone, and I think the ball was still being... juggling a little bit.
Jostled.
As you cross the plane.
Uh-huh.
Now the plane, I would say, was about 6 inches wide and infinity all across.
That's correct.
So what I'm thinking is that when he crossed that and he didn't have control, I think when he recovers it in the air, I think the refs went into receiver with two hands, or you have to come down with the ball. Yeah.
And they treat him like that kind of receiver.
Thing. Yeah.
Okay. So he's not one. This is not a pass. That's a problem. I don't like that they're interpreting the carrying of the football as a pass. That's not the same.
Yeah.
Not even close. What they've done, again, is create a scenario where the ground can cause a fumble. Now, that doesn't bother people, fine, but in the world I grew up in, the ground couldn't cause a fumble, and I don't like the concept that it can. You know, as it is, we have a lot of defenses that are trying to rip the ball out and make that their focus rather than tackling, which has led to a whole lot of other stuff that is just not good for the game, in my opinion. I don't mean to sound old. That's just where I live. But now adding that the ground can cause a fumble too, so you already got cats trying to rip at the ball and the ground can cause a fumble. No. Look, maybe they feel guilty for trying to, you know, making things suffer on defenses with illegal hits and all that. I'll grant. But I don't know. I just thought it was complete trash. I'm with Santana Moss, who was ejected for getting in the ref's face for this game. He'll be fine, and if I was rich enough, I'd pay it. Because here's the problem. When these guys screw calls, who's holding them accountable? I don't see it. I don't know who it is. I'm not asking to make a point. I'm asking because I don't know. And if anyone has an answer, Twitter, at the SOTG, would love to hear it. I don't know. Anyway, so Weasel, tell us a bit about the Seahawks' playoff chances.
Well, the thing about the Seahawks is that they're in Arizona's division.
That's correct. The NFC West.
Now, so the Seahawks, what I was thinking, they are right now at 10-4.
Mm-hmm.
49ers are out of it.
Yeah, the 7-7 will not do it.
But the thing about the Seahawks is that they have to, let's see.
They play the Cardinals next week.
Yeah, they play the Cardinals.
Right.
Who are 11-3.
And then they finish with the Rams.
And the Rams, they should win that game.
Should have won the first one, too.
if the Cardinals win next week in their game.
Yes.
So they clinch the top spot, or they clinch the division, right?
That gets very tricky. And let me tell you why. Currently, the Cardinals are slightly behind in their divisional record, right? They've lost to the Seahawks. Check that. Yeah, they've lost to the Seahawks. No, wait. Damn it, I looked this up earlier. Now I'm forgetting it. But their division record, one of them's 2-2, one of them's 3-1.
Seattle and Arizona are both 3-1 division.
Yes, that's true. You're right. Okay. I was looking at something else. Right. They're both 3-1
and they're both 8
right
and they're both 8-2 in conference.
And they're both 8-2 in conference.
So November 23rd, Seahawks beat the Cardinals 19-3.
Right, and that's true too. That doesn't matter so much because we got the outcome of this game. So if the Seahawks win, they do hold the head to head. And but the divisional record is what comes first, okay? Right now they're tied divisional, okay? Seahawks win, they're up divisional, and if they lose to the Rams, while the Cardinals beat the 49ers, Seahawks would still win based on the sweep. If the Cardinals win, the sweep doesn't matter anymore, and it's going to get real tricky, actually. So, yes, Weasel.
The thing that makes these last two games so big is that a reason that Seattle,
other than them being divisional,
they had their dominance in throughout the playoffs and
right.
in the Super Bowl.
Right.
They had their crowd behind them, the 12th man.
Yeah.
And
which they only earned last year on the strength of a blown call in the Saints game, but I digress.
And it was a loud, their crowd is ridiculously loud.
Yes.
And so that messes
Guinness
up quarterbacks.
World record stuff, absolutely.
Even the Super Bowl with Manning, they had a lot of crowd, yeah, presence. So all I'll say is this. The thing is Seattle will have to take a route similar to Pittsburgh and the Giants did on different years where they would play as a wild card and you would have two games straight at least
right.
away.
Right. And well, you're talking about the two recent Giants Super Bowl victories and the most recent Steelers Super Bowl victory. They came from the bottom part of the bracket. Yeah, and that'll be different than having everybody come through the 12th man. Last time they were in the playoffs without the 12th man, they almost lost to RG3 and were beaten by the Packers, right? Mm. Interesting bit of knowledge there. Thank you, Weasel. Anyways, take it over to the next game. The Broncos and the Chargers. Another desperate effort. The Chargers been struggling for a bit to try to get a W on the board of late. Needed to beat Peyton Manning and the Broncos to keep their playoff hopes alive. Well, even though he was experiencing flu-like symptoms and left shortly with a thigh injury, Peyton Manning did not let it happen. The Broncos clinched the AFC West in the victory 22-10. Phillip Rivers, I don't feel like Phillip Rivers is a fraud here because he doesn't have that much support. The running game was not there. It has been in the past. The defense isn't what it is. They've had five different starting centers in the O-line. I'm not putting, as a documented Phillip Rivers hater in the past, I'm not putting this on him here. I can't do it. Peyton Manning, 14 for 22, 33 with a touchdown. CJ Anderson strong on the ground to support him, 29 of 85. Demaryius Thomas, 6 catches for 123 yards and a touchdown. Yeah, but Antonio Gates also had a touchdown as well for the charge if you had him on your fantasy team. Yeah, when it comes to that, guys, got to be honest, I'm not shocked to see it. I don't think anyone else is. The Chargers may be in mathematically, but I really think they're done. Yeah. There you go. So as far as that, with... Actually, yeah, the Broncos clinched.
Chargers aren't in right now. I mean, they're still running for it, but they're a game back right now.
Right, they're still in the hunt right now. And who are the teams? It's the Ravens and the...
Steelers yes. and the Chiefs are...
The Chiefs are still in, really.
Yes, the Chiefs are actually ahead of the Chargers. Based on
conference
division tiebreak, yeah.
Okay. There you go. So
head to head win percentage.
Wow, that many tiebreaks. That's insane. Well, and how many teams with that record do we have in the AFC at that point?
With 8-6?
Yeah.
3.
That's why that's a fact.
There's 3-8-6, there's 2-9-5.
Okay, yeah, there you go. So with that, another team fighting for their playoff hopes, or I should say teams, the Steelers and the Falcons. Weasel.
The Steelers on the road defeated the Falcons 27-20. Steelers quarterback Big Ben Roethlisberger threw for 360 yards, sacked twice. Got Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan, 310 and 2 touchdowns with an INT. And someone who's been a big weapon for the Steelers, Le'Veon Bell.
When you want to run the football. Le'Veon.
Thank you.
He ran. I need to just make that a soundbite.
He ran for only 47 yards, but he did have 2 touchdowns and 72 yards receiving. You got Harry Douglas for the Falcons, 131 yards. Devin Hester had 85 yards and a touchdown. Riley White, he had 58 yards. So looking at the NFC South, kind of, you know, a little pathetic. The Falcons.
Whoa, no. Kind of. No, no. William Hung is kind of a little pathetic. This is just damn depressing, okay? Come on now, we continue, brother.
At 5-9, they're a half game behind the Panthers to win a division.
As of tonight, because the Saints haven't played yet. That's right.
So, that's that.
Yeah, yeah. The team that's what? 4-8-1 is in the lead for the damn division.
That's awesome.
No, it's not. No, it's not. The playoffs are sacred. This is trash. Anyways, so yeah. on the board there, it says still hunting, but because I write mean, it says still hurt. Still looks like it says still hurting, and that's my heart talking about the damn NFC South. It's still hurting. Freaking losing team in the playoffs. Saints better win this damn game. No offense to your wife, Weasel, but I better get some mediocrity and not another losing team in the playoffs. I don't care if the Seahawks won that game. They didn't belong there. Dang it. Speaking of teams that look like they didn't belong there, the Cowboys went to Philadelphia. Gentlemen, we were really perplexed come the show to know who was going to win this game. Well, the Cowboys kind of made their mark, yeah. Opening the game, recovering a kickoff on what was essentially a month kickoff. It's like, treat it like an extra long onside kick, folks, okay? It's still live, and an eagle didn't pick it up. Well, when that eagle landed, the Cowboys had the football. Oops. Opening touchdown on the day. As a matter of fact, the first three touchdowns on the day were for the Cowboys, who won 38-14. Guys, I got to tell you, 38-27. I give the Eagles credit for trying to make it a game towards the end, but Sanchez, doing his best Romo impression, in my opinion, came out in this game. I'm sorry, alleged Romo impression because of his unearned reputation, I'll say. Though Romo lost a fumble, Sanchez threw two picks. There were also two more fumbles by Eagles on the night. 4 turnovers to 1. You cannot do that. Especially in a game that holds this much weight. The Cowboys even up the head-to-head between the two and also take the lead as they have a 10-4 record to the Eagles, 9-5. Guys, I'm going to set it at 2.5 over or under the number of teams in the NFC that missed the playoffs with a 10-win schedule. Or excuse me, 1.5, not 2.5. Over or under 1.5. How many teams miss the playoffs with a 10-win or better record?
NFC?
Yeah.
You're saying?
Just NFC? Okay.
One.
So you're saying under?
I'd say under.
It could be over, though. The math is there, gentlemen. The math is there. And that's just a crime when you have a damn... yeah, so both sides were 3-3 in the red zone in this game. You know, the scoring was prolific. Still, nonetheless, I mean, give Chip Kelly credit. You got 4 turnovers, and you still put up 27 points. That's amazing. Nobody would have had Chris Polk as a running back scoring the 2 touchdowns on the day. And Darren Sproles had a touchdown as well. Shady McCoy did carry for 4 yards of carry as well. On the other side, Dez Bryant had 6 catches for 114 yards with 3 touchdowns. Jason Witten in support. Had 7 catches for 69 yards. Yeah. All right. That's really the only reason why I brought that up, guys. You know that. Anyways. Yeah. So, I feel like this game, with this result, basically is like an episode of the X-Files. It posed more questions than it answered. Because the Eagles came out on Thanksgiving, dominated the Cowboys. The Cowboys came out, returned the favor here. If they were to play again, which they might. I don't think they will, which they might. I mean, who would you say would win that game today, guys? Anybody? And does it matter to you that Nick Foles would be back by then? Is it even a good thing that Nick Foles is back? Would you keep starting Sanchez?
No, well...
I'd go back with Foles.
Yeah, because you kind of know what you're getting from Sanchez, and the team was on the ground, but...
You don't know what you're getting from Sanchez. Yeah, exactly. You know what you're getting from Foles, but you don't know what you're getting from Sanchez.
Do you know what you're getting from Foles? We're starting to find out that his numbers from 2013 were somewhat fraudulent in comparison to his actual performance. Not to say Foles is bad, mind you. He just doesn't have, like, what was it, 18-0 or whatever, you know, for a touchdown to interception ratio. I don't know. That's why episode of the X-Files, just a bunch of unanswered questions when it comes to that. Today, Chris, on the playoff picture, who's on the outside looking in the NFC?
NFC right now, you have Philly
at
9-5. Below them is San Fran at 7-7.
Okay, so yeah, but San Fran's done. Yeah, screw that. Right. Okay. So 9-5, outside looking in, everyone else has 10 wins.
Correct. At least 10 wins. Correct.
Yeah. If it was any more top heavy, it would be Pamela Anderson. Boom! Anyways, see what I did there? Weasel's nodding. He knows it's good.
I got you.
All right. All this silliness aside, we did it. Finish the games. It's time for the study hall. Let's get rolling. So, I ended the segment last week getting all cheesed off how I had only one game different than Chris. Apparently, that's all I needed. I'm creeping.
Yeah, you were 13-2. I was 12-3, and Weasel was 11-4.
Weasel, you did really good. You really did. Fortunately, everyone else is just a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
that's not even completely trash talk. Okay, a little bit.
Nowadays, everyone gets a trophy.
Oh no! Hold it. This isn't the NFC South. Everyone doesn't get a trophy, okay? Anyway, start it up, Chris. Who we got?
All right, so on the season, I'm 143-77. You are 138-82, and Weasel's 133-87. So I have a 10-game lead over Weasel.
I'm not
a 5-game lead over you.
Maybe it is everyone gets a trophy in this league. Holy crap. what's the difference for us? 4 games?
Five games.
Damn it. Okay. Two weeks in playoffs. 5 games. Wow. All right, let's do it.
This week, Thursday night. No, what a game of this one. It's going to see who's going to get the draft pick first. As you got the Titans at the Jags.
Okay, does anybody really think?
I'm going Jags.
Yeah, anybody really think the Titans have a shot in this one?
We're already 10 games back. Why not?
you seriously going Titans?
Haven't you already lost a game going with the Titans already one other time? Hell with it. So be it.
All right, next game you got it's Saturday. You got Eagles at the Skins. I'm going to go Eagles because it's the Redskins.
Yeah.
I mean, the Giants got the RG3 7 times. So I think the Eagles, yeah, they don't have that great of a rush, but...
Well, actually, I disagree with you. I'm with Eric Kusilius. The Eagles' line is probably the most underrated in the league. The reason why it's said that their defense isn't that good is because they're on the field so much in shootouts. Because Chip Kelly's defense is so fast. Fletcher Cox is amazing in the middle. Trent Cole, although he's like 175 years old, is awesome. I like that defensive front a lot, and they're even without D'Amico Ryans. That's a big deal, and RG3 is not. I have the Eagles.
Weasel?
I got the Eagles also.
I mean, I know you're 10 games back, but we got to at least have you in the fold. I mean, you know. You're playing for maybe a first-round draft pick.
All right. Next game, you get the Chargers at the Niners. I'm going Chargers. I know they haven't looked all that great, but Niners really, I got Chargers.
Chris, let me help you, okay? Now, it may change if someone gets injured or something like that. Just fill out the rest of the schedule with the Niners losing, okay? I'm not picking the Niners to win another football game this year. I have the Chargers. Weasel.
I will pick.
No, you won't. You're not going to do it. Just pick the Chargers and move on.
Why not? 49ers.
Put the Chargers in.
Harbaugh, it may be his last couple games.
Right, so he's stoked as a lame duck. Fine, put the Niners. Mm-hmm. I tried.
Next game, you get the Vikings at the Finns. I'm going Finns.
I'm going to go Finns and not explain why, just to see what Weasel does.
One more time?
Vikings, Finns.
Gosh. Why not Vikings?
Homer!
You got the Ravens, Texans. You don't know who the Texans are going to start at QB, if it's going to be Case Keenum or Thad Lewis. I'm going to go Ravens.
Either way, they're guys they should have started earlier in the season rather than whatever they came out with, except for maybe Ryan Mallett. Of course, Ryan Mallett got hurt. Well, damn it. Look, We've proven that the Ravens are useless unless your offense struggles. The Texans' offense will. I have the Ravens. Weasel? Are you hot for what?
Contrarian.
Yeah, he's hot for what?
I got the Texans.
It's not for odd anymore, baby. He's hot for what? Yeah.
Next game, you got Lions at the Bears. I have nothing to say about that. I got Lions, Bears. Next game, I'm going Lions.
Lions, Weasel?
Yeah, I'm picking the Nines.
Okay, good. He's not that dumb.
Brandon Marshall's out, so.
Right. Next game, you got the Browns at the Panthers. Johnny Football's going to be starting. I got the Panthers.
I have the Panthers, too, Weasel.
Panthers.
Okay, good, good. Okay.
You got the Saints, Falcons. I don't think the Saints are going to lose two to the Falcons this year. I'm going Saints.
I do. The Saints have shown me no reason to trust their defense, and the Falcons' defense gets pissed lately. I have the Falcons. Weasel. Oh, I'm creeping up. Weasel.
I'll take the Saints in this game.
See, I'm so distracted with what he's going to do that I forgot. I'm creeping up. Oh, I'm creeping up.
Bucks or Packers, Bucks. I got Packers.
Weasel? No.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Packers. The Packers.
Okay.
For some reason here, I had the Bucks written down for me. I don't know why.
It's the spirit of giving. Kyle's creeping up.
Next, you got the Chiefs and the Steelers. The way the Steelers have been playing lately with Le'Veon Bell, I'm going Steelers.
The way the Steelers have been playing at home lately, you could pick the Chiefs reasonably. But... Oh, God, that's...
Straight continues.
Yeah, no, seriously. This really could go either way when you analyze this team. But no, I can't pick Alex Smith in this game. I have the Steelers. Weasel.
Steelers, too.
So, wait a minute. The Vikings made more sense to you over the Finns than the Chiefs over the Steelers. Am I getting that right?
Hmm.
Okay, carry on.
You got the... Pats versus the Jets. I'm going Pats.
Why? Oh, that's why. Weasel.
It's the Jets.
Yeah, Patriots.
Sexy Rexy.
All right. Next game, you get the Giants at the Rams. I was thinking about originally going to the Giants, but that Rams defense is going to be over there. I'm going Rams.
I would have been pissed off that you didn't give me opportunity for the upset. I don't know that it's an upset at this point. I got the Rams too, Weasel.
Boom, picking the Giants.
Fine.
You get the Bills versus the Raiders. I get the Bills.
Whew. See, do I pick the Bills defense and support? Do I pick the Bills defense or do I remember that they have Kyle Orton? Because remembering they had Kyle Orton last week screwed me over. But this is can they contain Latavius Murray? That's the question. I think they can. I have the Bills. Weasel.
I'll take the Bills also.
Yeah, Colts at the Cowboys. I'm going Colts on this one against that Cowboys weak defense.
Cowboys weak defense. How about that Colts defense being just as bad and that offense actually being able to produce balance? Yeah, I get that Murray might be a little bit hurt, but I trust them to run the football more even still compared to the Colts. I have the Cowboys here, Weasel.
I'll take the Cowboys.
Oh, and the Cowboys need the game, by the way. Continue, Weasel. Sorry.
Cowboys.
And that's why they'll lose.
Hey, it is December. That's a good point.
Yeah, Seahawks at the Cardinals. I'm going Seahawks. You don't know. With Ryan Lindley going to be starting, I got Seahawks.
For that very reason, I match you. I have the Seahawks. Weasel.
If
you did it here, this isn't as bad. Yeah. Oh, but he's got the Seahawks. So wait. Vikings over Finns. Okay. You must really hate Ryan Lindley.
Then you got the Broncos at the Bengals. I'm going Broncos because the Bengals won yesterday. It means next week they're going to suck. So I got the Broncos.
Well, right. Carson Palmer. Andy Dalton was bad, so that means this week he'll be awesome. But it won't matter because Peyton Manning, I have the Broncos as well. Weasel.
I have the Broncos also.
But yet picks the Vikings over the Finns.
And that's it.
Wow. This is... over or under 13 games back for Weasel next week. No, wow.
We're starting to turn into a betting show now.
Why not?
What odds are you going to give me?
See, we got to do something to keep Weasel interested. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, always an honor and privilege. Bittersweet do these shows become as we near the end of the football season in three more shows. We will be doing the superlatives for you along with opening playoffs.
Playoffs? Playoffs. Good God. Anyways, I'm for Steven. Oh, screw it. Weasel Words!
Yeah, boy!
At Steven Weasel. At Weasel, the SOTG is Steven Weasel Hurley. For Chris Rankin at Rankin the SOTG. I got it right again?
Yes.
Yes, I'm on a roll. And of course, I am Kyle Nash, the student of the game. On Twitter, you can find me at the SOTG. Of course, Wednesday night, check out my piece, The Matchup Mania, on NJSCSports.com. Chris.
We forgot to say it last week. Last week was show 350. This week's 351.
Yeah, this is show 351. So we've done this. Well, I've done this. Weasel and I have done this 351 times. Well, ish. You missed a couple. I've been here for all 351.
Yeah, ish, you missed one.
No, we didn't. We just didn't go live. That doesn't count. And there's actually twice I missed. One of them was, I ain't getting into that. But yeah, the appendectomy. Yeah, I guess that's a good excuse. Anyways, so 351 episodes. I'm either awesome, a really big nerd, or both, depending entirely on who you ask. At any rate, until next time, folks, an honor and privilege, as always. Great fun doing the show once again, and we'll see you next week for week six. No, that's week 16.
Week 16, 16.
Yeah, right. Okay, good. It's getting towards the end of the season. I need to take off my shoes here pretty soon. Week 16 action. But until next time, everybody, class dismissed.